Hello, and welcome to the Muslim Sheroes of Minnesota podcast, where we spotlight the Muslim women of the Minnesota community. My name is Noshina Hussein, and I'm the executive director of RISE, Reviving the Islamic Sisterhood for Empowerment. Our mission is to amplify the voice and power of Muslim women through storytelling, leadership development, and civic engagement. What is a shiro? A shiro is a female trailblazer who is creating change in her community. She takes risks, she challenges misconceptions, and addresses injustices. Shiros are on a mission to build a better world, and the sisterhood is here to support them and lift their voices.
Meet our next shiro, Suad Ismail. Suad is a mental health advocate who is disrupting the narrative around mental health in her community. Working as a case manager, she's approaching the taboo topic and stigma with compassion and empathy. Keep listening as she tells you her story in her own words.
I was born in Somalia right around the time when the civil war broke out. So my family, actually my mother tells me that I was born right at the border between Somalia and Ethiopia. So I grew up in Kenya. I do have a glimpse of memory of what it was like over there. And then I came here when I was 7 years old. When we first came to Minnesota, we lived in a city called Savage. And at that time, Savage was not as diverse. So the elementary school that I attended, I was literally the only colored student. So just feeling like so different, feeling like I don't fit in, trying to compare myself to others and just coming up short, because we in America, we are thought of like the darker you are, you know, the less pretty you are. So as a second grader, as a third grader, that just, you know, that just becomes your reality. And people are just giving you feedback of, oh, you're not like this or you're not like that. So I remember just feeling a lot of self doubt at the beginning. And then as we moved over to St. Paul, where there was a bigger population, a lot of diversity, found that it's not as bad, you know, you just have to find the right group. I had my undergrad from the University of Minnesota in child psychology, and I went on to get my master's in counseling psychology at St. Mary's University. And right now I'm working on my license to become a clinical counselor to do therapy individually. I had a psychology class in high school, and that was the only class that I looked forward to. So just understanding, like, there's not one answer to a question. There's all these variation because we're talking about human behavior. So that understanding of, you know, it's not always going to be like this because this environment, this genetics, or this person's ability to resist all these trauma that they had and resilience. So all of those were interest to me and I wanted to know more. And then as I came into my undergrad years, I had the mentality of, I'm going to solve this problem. I'm going to educate our community so that we have a better acceptance of what mental health is, better understanding, and then people who are stuck in their rooms or in their house, literally sheltered in because they can't come into the community, give them an opportunity to assimilate and be part of our community. From my high school into my undergrad, just deciding what I wanted to become, I had a lot of struggles, even within my family. My parents telling me, like, well, what are you doing? What field are you going into? You know, we're going to work with crazy people. So it started even at home for me, just educating my family, letting them know that this is a problem and I'm not in it for the money. I'm in it because I want to make sure that everyone has access to resources, that everyone has the ability to live their life to the fullest. And it's not fair that someone is struggling with mental health and not having the opportunity to eat dinner with their family or just go outside and take a walk. So right now what I do is I just start a conversation wherever I go. If I can find one person who's willing to listen to me and hear me out, then at least that person can take it back to their network and educate them. So that one person at a time is where I'm paying more attention to. There's some days that I'm motivated to work with teenagers that are young, adolescents into teens that are struggling with drugs, that are getting into criminal actions, that are having that misconnection with the both cultures. So that is one idea of what I might be doing counseling with them. I've noticed that as individuals who are going into jails as a teenagers, coming back in as an adult, and just not feeling like they're accepted back into the community. The community is not accepting them, labeling them as criminals. There is discrimination in renting homes to them. There's discrimination in getting a job. So it's easier for them to go back into their old ways and just end up back into jail. So it's a cycle that's not really resolving. And many of the times, these individuals have had a lot of trauma as they were in prison. So they're coming out with all these symptoms of mental health that are not being addressed. So that's an area that I'm interested in, helping them assimilate back into the community and give them a path to walk into and finding them the resources that they need to be successful and not go back into the cycle. Some of the things that leads them into going to jail in the first place might be stealing. It might be doing drugs and just ending up with the wrong group, being at the wrong place at the wrong time, and not having the ability to speak for themselves or having attorneys that to represent on their behalf. So they end up serving longer terms. And when they come back, they already lost 10, 15 years of their life and really don't understand how to fit back into the community. So to work with them, they first need to be addressing what traumas have they had. They're holding all that emotions in. So giving them safe space to talk about the issues that they have seen, the traumatic experience that they had, and if needed, to go into further therapy. Then connecting them with career counselors. Some of them do not have the skills that they need because they've been incarcerated for a long time. Other things would be to find them landlords that are accepting of people with felony backgrounds, giving them an opportunity to build their rental history. I work as a case manager in an agency called Mental Health Resources. And at the position that I'm in, I'm contracted with Ramsey County. So most of the time we get roughly 30 to 35 clients that are different areas of their mental health. Some of them are severely impacted. Some of them are totally independent, just need someone to keep them on the track. So what I do is I go to these individuals, visit them at their home, and we come up with goals that they want to achieve and work towards those goals on a monthly basis. So for most of them, if they're committed by the county, then they're coming in not understanding that they are severely struggling with mental symptoms. So for those, it's a lot of psychoeducation, it's a lot of connecting with resources, psychiatrists, therapy, primary care, and then just keeping track of, are you taking your medications, what's going on, assessing for suicidal thoughts, assessing for homicidal thoughts, and just making sure that they have, their basic needs are met. There are several different challenges. Some of them could be family members that are not understanding. So if I go into a culture where there's a lot of stigma that surrounds the mental health, that's one of the challenges, just understanding who is my client. Is it the whole family or is it just that individual's, and whose right and values or goals do I respect? Because at times we have where family thinks, you know, I know what's best for this person and I want them to do A, B, C, and the individual's not on it. They don't want to do that. That's not what's important to them. Another challenge is if individual comes from as a commitment, that's an individual that's forced to work with me. Right away, I'm coming in as the system. You're the reason why I am committed to this. I have to take medication. I have this label. So there's that of, you know, I might hold the system, but I really care about you and I want what's best for you. So just conveying that message to them. When individuals are not understanding it, they kind of push it away. This is a change that I'm not ready for. So most of the reactions that I get is people just either minimizing it and just assuming that it's not there, or it doesn't affect our community because we're a spiritual community and we have the Quran or the ways of the Prophet that is going to show us, or, you know, if you are connected with the religion, then you don't have these mental health symptoms. So there's that lack of just understanding. That's one. And then another thing is if they do have an individual in their family that's struggling with it, they just deny access for that person because of that label. So that individual might not be seen out in the community, might not be understood, might not be getting the resources that they need because family is not helping them. or family is minimizing the problem and telling them, you need a shift instead. You don't need to go to these therapists or psychiatrists. We don't need more medications to help you out. So there's just a lack of understanding. A lot of us have experienced the traumatic civil war. So most people who have experienced these horrific incidents are coming in, and just that understanding of, yes, you have faced this traumatic experience and now it's coming back as a symptoms of mental health. So there is that understanding of, there's a lot of Somali communities that are struggling with these symptoms and finding, understanding what these symptoms are while they're assimilating to the American culture. They don't have to fear for their life or worry about where their next meal is going to come from. They're noticing that even though they feel safe, there's these symptoms, there's anxiety, there's depression, there's this feeling of loneliness, even while surrounded by the community. It's just because they've experienced a traumatic experience and that trauma is coming back out. And now it's time for them to deal with it and to get the resources that they need. If that's therapy, where they can talk about what they have experienced and how to overcome them, or if that's medications to just give them, reduce the symptoms for them. And most of the time we have these parents that are raising children. Their children are being affected indirectly by these symptoms. If we have a mother that has anxiety or depression, most likely her child is going to experience those symptoms or it's going to show those symptoms. So we have a lot of young teens that are coming up having these symptoms because their parents are struggling with it, and then having to deal on top of that with assimilating to the two cultures. Where do I fit in as an American? Where do I fit in as a Somali? And what is all these other emotions that I'm having? Sometimes that's where they will struggle with going into drugs to self-cope, ending up in the wrong group and getting into criminal actions. So they can have that satisfaction, or they can have an opportunity to feel like they're important. I'd love to see an accepted community. I'd love to see people coming out to understand what mental health is and just giving it as much of importance as physical health. It's easy for people to talk about their diabetes or high blood pressure or migraines, but why are we not talking about symptoms that affect our brain, which in turn affects the rest of our body? And instead of just saying, go read Quran, go do this, go pray, to say, you know what, you might need a therapist. You might need a medication, which is okay. You take medications for high blood pressure. Why not take medications for depression? I would tell people, express yourself. And people assume expression just means the way we dress. There's a lot more to it. It's the work that we do. I do this because I know some people rely on it. There's people with the clients that I have. I might be the only one who visits them. I might be the only one who really listens to them. And just have hope for them when they lost hope. So that's my motivation. There is someone that I could make a better day for them. And other times is seeing them accomplish things, you know, celebrating with them, something that we have worked on for 6 months to a year. Finally, we have made an accomplishment, and just celebrating that with them. Those are the things that get me up in the morning.
Thank you to Blue Cross Blue Shield Minnesota for funding the Shiro's project. To learn more about Shiro's and Reviving Sisterhood, visit us at www.revivingsisterhood.org. Find us on social media at Reviving Sisterhood on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thank you.